As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line in my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements supporting your cardiovascular health, Clinical Cardio 6, Ubiquinol, and K2, MK7, and D3. This collection offers a powerful combination of targeted nutrients and botanicals that are known to promote optimal cardiovascular health by supporting healthy blood pressure, arterial flexibility, cellular energy production, neutralization of free radicals, protection against oxidative stress, and promotion of healthy vascular structures. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We've got podcasts throughout the week, but this, for many of you, is a live radio program. And we got lots to talk about today. And, you know, the question arises, you know, why listen to Intelligent Medicine? Why become a fan of this program? And the reason is because Intelligent Medicine is, well, it means the best of both worlds, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. Putting those together for you each weekend and throughout the week is my job description. And you're going to get practical news you can use about, let's say, what supplements should you take? Should you be taking the flu shot this year? What are the benefits? What are the potential downsides? Also, you can get useful information about how to prevent back pain. All those topics are grist for the mill here on Intelligent Medicine, plus your phone calls. 877-726-8255, our number. We've got a weekly newsletter. You can go to drhoffman.com and subscribe to our newsletter. And in our next newsletter, coming up next week, I'm going to tackle a variety of subjects, including this news about fluoridation. We're rethinking fluoridation. Because, well, the fluoridation controversy has raged since, literally, since I was a kid. Growing up in the 1950s and 60s in Southern California, there was an outfit called the John Birch Society, which was an ultra-right-wing organization, which propounded the idea that fluoridation was a kind of a an unfoisted public health measure on the populace, that it was dangerous. And it was identified with those proverbial little old ladies in tennis shoes who would walk around with picket signs protesting fluoridation. And I recently rewatched the 1964 Stanley Kubrick movie, Dr. Strangelove, which is really worth a rewatch, because it kind of captures the zeitgeist of my adolescence in the 1960s. And if you recall, in it, a crazed rogue Air Force base commander launches a preemptive nuclear strike on Russia. And that's the plot of the movie. And it's kind of one of those doomsday movies about, yeah, what could possibly go wrong in the nuclear age? And the Air Force Base commander was portrayed memorably by Sterling Hayden. The character's name was, get this, General Jack D. Ripper. And he was absolutely a nutcase person. And he delivered a long soliloquy about the dangers of fluoridation, positing that it was a communist plot. And I'm quoting, from the movie, "Do you realize," he said, "that in addition to fluoridating water, why, there are studies underway to fluoridate salt, flour, fruit juices, soup, sugar, milk, ice cream. It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual, certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works." And conspiracy theories aside, there have been legitimate concerns over the efficacy and safety of universal water fluoridation. First of all, you know, there's the ethical concern about it's actually the only substance that we introduce into our food and water. Well, perhaps with the exception of certain vitamins that we fortify flour with. We now put some B vitamins, some folate, especially, into flours because we believe that it is a hedge against neural tube defects in pregnant women. Okay, women need folate to prevent birth defects. And fluoridation is kind of like, you know, it's against your will. It's like, you know, I want it or I don't want it. No, it's imposed. And still, about 70% of community water supplies are fluoridated. And it's been argued, and I think there's a point here, that the significant reductions in tooth decay seen since the introduction of fluoridation, which was post-war, 1946, it was thought that, you know, one of the reasons that fluoride was introduced is because it's a waste product of aluminum production, and aluminum production soared during World War II, the need for lightweight aircraft materials, so there's a lot of fluoride that was a waste product of that. And they thought, well, what do we do with all this fluoride? It's kind of toxic. We're, you know, putting it into a toxic waste dump. No, we can actually recycle it into the water supply, and it may be beneficial. It may actually, and you know, there's studies that document that it does reduce the incidence of tooth decay somewhat. There are a lot of studies that show that the reason that we're seeing less tooth decay is because of hygiene, better hygiene, you know, better, you know, dental care, and, you know, potentially you know, less in the way of poverty and cleaner living circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. So in many countries that are poorer countries, where they do use fluoridation, they still have a lot of tooth decay. So fluoridation hasn't stemmed the tide in those countries because of socioeconomic factors. So the other problem is that there is a narrow therapeutic window for protection against caries with fluoride. Fluoride is something that if used too much, it'll actually damage your teeth. It'll result in dental fluorosis, which is mottling of the tooth enamel that is unsightly and, you know, potentially runs the risk of damaging your teeth. And systemic effects are documented of too much fluoride, which include weakening of the bones. Fluoride will increase your bone density on a DEXA scan, but when it comes to reducing the risk of fractures, it actually creates more brittle bones. There are endocrine problems. There's even neurological toxicity and cancer. More on the neurological toxicity coming up, because the fluoride action network, which is vociferously anti-fluoridation, and I've had them on at various times in my career to do podcasts to talk about the hazards, downsides of fluoridation. They've been campaigning to highlight fluoridation hazards for decades. If you go to their website, which is fluoridealert.org, they've got a publication that is entitled 50 Reasons to Oppose Fluoridation, and they talk about the downsides and hazards. Well, coming into the picture is a recent national toxicology program monograph, which has concluded that higher levels of fluoride exposure, such as drinking water containing more than 1.5 milligrams of fluoride per liter, are associated with lower IQ scores in children. Now, the dentists, the ADA, the American Dental Association, which is a big proponent of fluoridation, and when I talk about the subject, I'm at risk of arousing the ire of many of the dentists who like to listen to Intelligent Medicine. So, you know, look, I mean, I respect your viewpoint on this because this is a controversy. It's like not settled science. But in the study that showed the deficits in IQ, that's roughly double the level of fluoride that's in drinking water. Okay, so it's kind of pushing the envelope at a higher dose. But I got to say that the problem is that while municipal water delivers fluoride at a concentration generally considered safe, it's ubiquitous in the food chain. You know, wherever foods are processed with, you know, fluoridated water, as the case with most manufacturing facilities, it's going to concentrate the fluoride in the food, the water, the beverages. And so you're getting in your drinking water, you're getting in your foods, a little bit like kind of like echoing the sentiments of General Jack D. Ripper. You know, maybe he was prescient in 1964. He said it's going to be added to your, you know, to your soup, sugar, milk, ice cream, fruit juices, etc. Stuart Cooper, who's executive director of the Fluoride Action Network, claims, quote, "There is no scientific basis for the claim that fluoridation is safe for children. The ADA, American Dental Association, would be the last to admit that they're largely responsible for damaging the brain development of millions of innocent kids over many decades." Well, kind of inflammatory language. But here's another point, is that fluoride comes to us in a variety of ways. We get fluoride, little kids do, often when they go to the dentist. The fluoride is applied to their teeth in an effort to prevent tooth decay in some instances. Not all dentists do this, but some still do. Also, kids use fluoridated toothpaste, and kids sometimes have trouble distinguishing between stuff that you spit out and stuff that tastes yummy and that you swallow. So they're swallowing more fluoride. Potentially, they are achieving those higher doses that may be associated with brain damage and IQ deficits. And so, you know, my take is that as concerns mount over the potential hazards of excess fluoride, I agree with what's happening in many countries and localities who are abandoning the practice of mandatory water fluoridation. And I don't think we're going to see a major uptick or a surge in tooth decay among children and adults as the result of abandoning that practice. We're still going to get fluoride. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
If you're having to stretch every dollar a little further these days, you're not alone. At Kyolic, we've got some tips, free samples, and coupons to help you keep costs down. Go to kyolic.com/radio for yours. With a budget-conscious diet and smart supplement shopping, you can navigate higher prices while maintaining your physical and financial health. Look for multifunctional supplements like Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic offers formulas to support cholesterol, blood pressure, circulation, blood sugar balance, stress relief, and more for men and women. Aged Garlic Extract is backed by clinical studies that have shown it to provide many cardiovascular and immune health benefits. To help you stay healthy on a budget, get free Kyolic samples and in-store coupons on our website. Go to kyolic.com/radio. That's kyolic.com/radio. Kyolic aged garlic extract formulas are available at natural health retailers and online.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number is 877-726-8255, and you can get in on the action by calling 877-726-8255. Anytime you like, if you have a question, you're in a medical dilemma, quandary, you can call 877-726-8255 and record a question, as did this individual. Let's hear it.
Are there any alternatives to the drug apixaban, A-P-I-X-A-B-A-N? My doctor wants me on a blood thinner, but I want to know what the consequences of this drug is. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so apixaban is better known as Eliquis, and it's an example of a new generation of blood thinners that are unlike Coumadin. Coumadin, it was problematic because you had to keep getting your levels of Coumadin checked because it affects bleeding. And with a test called the ProTime, you can determine how much it is reducing the risk of a stroke or a heart attack, how much it's thinning the blood, whether it's effectively thinning the blood, whether you're underdosing or whether you're overdosing. And it is affected by diet because vitamin K in the form of green leafy vegetables and tea and certain other foods can affect it. So if you're on a diet where, you know, sometimes you just pour on the green leafy vegetables or you're guzzling a lot of a tea, it can actually change the effectiveness, reduce or increase the effectiveness of Coumadin. If you increase the effectiveness of Coumadin, you might get bleeding, bruising. But if you reduce the effectiveness, you might actually eliminate its protection against stroke. These medications are not always used to prevent stroke. I mean, they can be used if people have blood clots in their legs, for example. But the most common usage of these medications is when you have atrial fibrillation, which is an abnormal rhythm of the heart. And what happens with atrial fibrillation is that because of the abnormal rhythm, sometimes little clots can form inside the heart. And then when the heart pumps, it pumps the blood up towards the head via the carotid arteries, and that can cause a stroke. So anticoagulation is a thing for many people, and you can get some degree of anticoagulation with aspirin. Aspirin, however, has a little bit of an erosive effect on the GI tract and sometimes cause gastrointestinal bleeding. Eliquis, to a lesser extent. The problem with these medications is that they render you more susceptible to bruising, to injury, because if you're not on it and you twist an ankle, okay, your ankle will swell a little bit. But if you're on it, you might get a big, big swollen ankle because of the bleeding that is permitted because of the blood thinning. You might also get like bleeding of the gums, certainly easy bruising of like the arms. People who are on these medications, they often have a lot of black and blue, especially get older, their skin is thinning. And then there's some other side effects. And these are less common side effects, but include fatigue, just kind of an, icky feeling that people experience from Eliquis. Less than 1 in 100 has been reported. And I've talked to some people who believe that Eliquis has some other adverse effects besides increasing their risk of bruising. I guess the biggest problem when you're on these types of blood thinners is if you fall. And if you fall and you hit your head, you get a concussion, okay, bump on your head. But I think a lot of people in this country are hospitalized and die because when they take these medications and they fall, they get a brain bleed. And that, I think, is one of the more serious downsides of these medications. Especially older people take these medications. They stumble, they fall, they hit your head, and then they have a brain bleed, which can have a really, really bad outcome. 877-726-8255, our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines 5 types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy 2 bottles of Revive and get 1 free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein. You've heard me say for years that NT Factor is the breakthrough supplement that's proven to repair and renew your body's cells. That includes your immune cells, such as your T cells and white blood cells. NT Factor has been shown to contribute to a more robust and effective immune response. So now that we're in cold and flu season, NT Factor is combining with powerful antioxidants, vitamin C and D, to provide you with an immune booster bundle. Vitamin C and D help stimulate the production of white blood cells and activate immune cells, which play a key role in defending against pathogens. Together with NT Factor, they help modulate immune function, reduce inflammation, and promote overall immune health. For a limited time, buy a bottle of NT Factor with D3K2 and get a bottle of C1000 with NT Factor absolutely free. That's a savings of over $26. Just go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Save over $26 on the powerful cocktail of vitamins C and D with NT Factor at ntfactor.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number is 877-726-8255. During the program or otherwise anytime during the week, call that number, record a question. The flu vaccine. Okay, I got a lot of questions from listeners and in my practice about, you know, every year. It's the same thing. Should I take the flu vaccine? And this is the time of the year that people start thinking about the flu vaccine because it's cold and flu season, right? You know, it tends to increase in the cold months. And also, you know, people stay inside more. There's lots of holiday gatherings. I think people are a little stressed and run down. And I also think that people eat and drink a lot during the holidays. It's kind of like, starts around the time of, well, you look at all the Halloween candy that's sold, and I think adults consume about 70% of that Halloween candy. You know, what you can do with all the leftovers when the trick-or-treaters don't pick up all those Reese's Pieces and Mars bars. Well, so a lot of people say, well, should I take the flu vaccine? And my position has been, and for a long time, it's been, I am an agnostic. I'm not an atheist. I'm not saying, no, don't take it. I also am not an enthusiastic promoter. I'm not a believer, a true believer, that the flu vaccine is mandatory for everyone. My personal choice is I don't take the flu vaccine. So here's a little information about the flu vaccine. Headline, and this is from just this week, flu vaccine might be less effective this year. And it comes to us in a report from WebMD. The CDC says the flu vaccine being used this flu season might be less effective than the one used last flu season. And how do we know that? Well, not that many people have taken it yet. So how do we know that the flu vaccine is less effective? Well, there's a test case for it because south of the equator, it was 6 months ago, precisely the same season as we're entering into this fall. The winter in South American countries is July, August, right? That's winter. So their flu season is the opposite of ours. And so this flu vaccine has already been field tested in countries like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And so we looked at those countries for forecasting, you know, just like kind of hurricane forecasting. Nothing is certain, you know, as we followed Hurricane Helene and the trajectory of those hurricanes and Hurricane Milton most recently. It was all based on prediction. Where's it going to land? How intense is it going to be? Same thing with the flu. But also, when we make the vaccine, it's months before the flu hits. So the vaccine, since the flu virus changes all the time, you know, we learned that with the COVID virus, it's very changeable. And that's why some vaccines seem to work pretty well. You know, the polio vaccine, you know, is a resounding success. Other vaccines more or less work. But respiratory viruses have a very high rate of change. They're very elusive. So we make our best prediction, and then we manufacture a lot of vaccine, and then we see if it works. It turns out that the seasonal flu vaccine cut the risk of hospitalization for high-risk groups. Okay, we're not talking about ordinary folks, but high-risk groups, you know, immunosuppressed, elderly, frail people. In Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Paraguay, and Uruguay, by just 35%. That compares to last flu season when the vaccine had a 52% effectiveness in those countries. So the prediction is that vaccine effectiveness might be similar in the Northern Hemisphere. And during the past flu season in North America, see, a lot of people think it's you take the flu shot and you don't get the flu. No, you may get the flu. You may have a less severe flu. You may have a somewhat reduced risk of hospitalization or even death, but it's not a sure shot. You know, what we'd like to see is something that's like 100% effective, or at least 90% effective. Well, during the past flu season in North America, the CDC estimated the vaccines were 41 to 44% effective in preventing flu-related hospitalization in adults. And it was about, it works better in kids. It 52 to 61% effective for children. Nevertheless, an estimated 75 million people in the U.S. got the flu between October 2023 and April 2024. So that's like, what, you know, a quarter of the population or more. The result were 900,000 hospitalizations and between 17,000 and 100,000 deaths. So, you know, if you say, well, COVID was just like the flu. No, COVID was worse. But the flu, pretty substantial death toll. So here is another way of looking at it. This is a Cochrane review, which was actually published in the early 2000s. And it's a review of, and the Cochrane collaboration does reviews of medical therapies. And they try to be honest brokers. They're not biased. They're not bought out by the pharmaceutical companies. They're probably, you know, maybe they're influenced to some extent, but they're not pharma bros who do this. They performed a review, vaccines to prevent influenza in healthy adults. And they looked at 52 trials in over 80,000 people. And what they found is this. They found that there is a small protective effect against influenza. 71 people would need to be vaccinated to avoid one influenza case. All right? You say, in other words, that's not that great. That's what's called number needed to treat. 71. So in other words, 70 people would unnecessarily take it. It wouldn't matter. But one person might be protected from the flu. 29 would need to be vaccinated to avoid one case of something called influenza-like illness, which is the more severe symptoms, more severe flu. Okay, and what they conclude: vaccination would have little or no appreciable effect on hospitalizations or number of working days lost. And so, one of the answers to this was, okay, older people have lower immunity. So they came up with this idea that for older people, they're going to amp up the potency of the vaccine. So, you know, if you're younger, you don't need this. But if you're older, you know, over 65, or if you're frail, you're going to take something called the high-dose recombinant influenza vaccine. It's about three times more potent. It's called the flu block. And that's routinely dispensed to older adults, and even, you know, adults over 50. And they looked at the impact on hospitalization or infection. Now, it makes sense, right? Give a higher dose because people's immune system's not as robust. So hit them with a higher dose and their immune system will respond. Totally makes sense. They did a study on this, just came out, 2024. High-dose recombinant influenza vaccine. The number needed to treat to prevent one more infection than, this is compared to the flu vaccine. This is not overall efficacy, but is there, the question was, is there an advantage over a regular flu shot for older adults? The number needed to treat was 3,000. So 2,999 people would have to get the high-dose vaccine to prevent one infection. There was no impact on hospitalization. No impact. So the bottom line is, they say there's a very small absolute reduction in the risk of influenza with a high-dose recombinant vaccine, but they have no impact on hospitalization. All right? And, yeah. So that's why, I mean, I just look at the science. I mean, there are a lot of people like anti-vax, anti-vax, anti-vax. So what are the downsides? Well, there are some downsides of the flu vaccine. A lot of people swear that they take the flu shot and they get the flu. Actually, what they're getting is they're getting a flu-like reaction. And that occurs, according to the statistics, one in 125 people experienced a fever after the vaccination. So some people are really afraid that the vaccination is going to make them sick. That's not that like. I mean, you're going to get a sore arm. You may feel a little malaise for a day or two, but an actual fever and something that is similar to experiencing the flu itself, they say that happens only one in 125 times. So there you have it. And yep. So you know, pick your poison. You know, take the vaccine, run the small risk of a vaccine reaction, get a little bit of protection, maybe. But unfortunately, for the very people who need the most protection, they have really crappy immune systems, the frail, the elderly. The vaccine's just not that effective. For kids, a little different story. I mean, kids do derive a benefit from the flu shot in terms of somewhat reduced risk. For kids, the benefits were more robust. Okay, so it was the number needed to treat for kids kind of low, five. So four kids would get it unnecessarily to prevent one case of the flu, and that's a little better. That, you know, may make some sense for kids. 877-726-8255, our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to Intelligent Medicine.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics do just that. Dr. O'Hara's contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a three-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers.
Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at natural grocers, Sprouts, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other natural health retailers nationwide. Also available online.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter your body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, Wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. An important announcement because there is a free offer that you may want to take advantage of. Our friends at Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract want to help you stay healthy, especially in this cold and flu season, not to mention cardiovascular benefits, blood pressure, and anti-atherosclerosis benefits. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, they're offering you coupons and free samples. So just go to kyolic.com/radio and click on Dr. Ronald Hoffman. There's no purchase necessary. That's kyolic.com/radio, kyolic.com/radio, and click on Dr. Ronald Hoffman for coupons and free samples from Kyolic. All right. Crocs. Hey, this is kind of a pet peeve because, first of all, I think Crocs look ugly. And for an adult to wear Crocs, they're trying to make a fashion statement or something. It's ridiculous. But for kids, maybe. But podiatrists are sounding the alarm over Crocs. And, you know, they're handy. They're handy because, you know, kids can just slip them on. You know, they also have these little bands across the, or, you know, like these things that hold them in the back. But a lot of kids just slip them on, right? And the heel strap, kids ignore it, and they wear the shoes like slides. But podiatrists are concerned that it's having a negative effect on kids' foot development and their gait development. One who is interviewed by NPR, Dr. Priya Partha Sarathy from Maryland, says that she's seeing structural issues like heel pain, arch pain, hammer toes, because if you ever walked in Crocs, you have to kind of grip the shoe to keep them on, so the toes are always overworking. And foot and ankle specialists are warning online that Crocs aren't the best choice for all-day footwear. I mean, yeah, maybe we're running around a little bit or we're around the pool. They're not particularly stable. And they also lack arch support. And they're made of this plastic material or rubber-like material that's not great at wicking away moisture. And so you can get blisters. You get kind of skin problems from them. And Dr. Partha Sarathy has seen kids with foot injuries after their Crocs slid off because they're so wide that they don't grip the foot as well. So, you know, word of the wise, you know, if you're a parent, you know, kids can wear some Crocs if you like. But put them in, you know, good sneakers with some support because it also changes your gait. You know, you have to kind of shuffle when you walk in them. And so adults wearing Crocs, it can change your gait. And they can take a toll on the foot, the ankle, and even, you know, your hips, your spine, because everything is connected. You know, your foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, etc. And if you've got bad support, that'll have other ramifications. All right, here's an important topic. Something that we've just introduced here on Intelligent Medicine. Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the very substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing from sagging, Wrinkles are a consequence of cross-linking of collagen, making it less pliant and firm. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. And I use it now daily. Throw some Revive powder in my shakes. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. And studies show that collagen also helps people relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some of the effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. Or call this number, 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. We got a special offer. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for the BOGO, buy one, get one free, for Revive multi-collagen protein. Okay, so diet matters during pregnancy. And we've known, I mean, this is ancient wisdom, is that moms who are pregnant should be eating good quality food. And I've been told, you know, I wasn't around yet, but I've been told that while my dad worked in the city, we were living in New York City at the time that I was born, he worked in the squalid Manhattan, you know. But when my mom was pregnant, my dad sent her to like a farm in New Jersey where she could get fresh food, you know, organic, natural. And, you know, maybe that had an impact on me. Well, this study, diet quality during pregnancy and adolescent brain morphology and cognitive performance. And what they found is that diet quality may affect the offspring's neurobiology. And indeed, there was a distinct difference in brain structures and also in verbal comprehension and reasoning and IQ associated with higher diet quality during pregnancy. So bigger brain, better brain, due to better diet while mom has you in the oven. 877-726-8255, our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.